A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. Bill Crackman, Unscripted, coming up here momentarily. Just wanted to point out this tweet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is a Craig Parlay, Jeff. Do you know who this is? Craig Parlay, who spawned young Jeff Parlay. He's talking about this Auburn thing. Like, I need the reminder at Auburn. But he put together this. Well, he retweeted something from Sarah Mueller just to amplify Will Hill's point about how brutal Auburn's loss in the Iron Bowl was. Brian Harsin now, three consecutive weeks. Auburn with a greater than 90% win probability. So, of course, there was the 28-3 lead over Mississippi State. At that point, you have a 98.5% win probability. Mississippi State outscores Auburn the rest of the way 40-6. Is that good? Following week, they're up on South Carolina 14-0, 93.2% win probability at its peak. They lose 21-17. And then the coup de grace against Bama. 99.9% win probability before Tank Bigsby runs out of bounds. Those are the ones that make you want to retire. You're like, I can't take this anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, never retiring, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman, with his intro music. And it goes a little something like this. Billy! It's that Bill Crackman with K on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Good, good. I was actually supposed to be on a flight to Vegas, so I heard Jeff in the background screaming, what's he doing in Vegas and not in the studio? I was supposed to go to Vegas. I was supposed to go back to New Jersey, but things got in the way and unfortunately couldn't make it yet, but I still may pop on a flight today. I'm very spontaneous. The money I spend on airfares is ridiculous because I'm not one that does them ahead of time. So it's so dumb. It's crazy.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. When I used to, and you remember this, I used to live pretty much at the Hard Rock back in the day. And
oh, yeah.
It was, what is it, like 2013, was it? It wasn't 2012. Because 2012, you could still, if I decided to go back to San Francisco on a drop of a dime, the flight was still only like $59 or whatever it was. But like the next year, I think it was 2013 when they caught on. They're just like, you know what? We're not letting passengers do that anymore. And it's going to be right up. Like you will get penalized for making a last minute decision. But it used to be a different way. And it was only, it was less than 10 years ago. And now it's a distant memory. So you get nailed on that all the time.
Well, and now there's really no direct way to go to Atlantic City. You have to travel an hour and change outside of it. So it's either Newark Airport
right in
Newark, New Jersey, which is United, which a first-class ticket, sometimes you can get away with like a $500 each way. As a matter of fact, at nighttime, the overnight flight, I've caught it for $499, and it's a sleeper seat where it comes right out to a bed. I've done that a couple times, which is definitely worth it. But last minute, though, you really get penalized on this. And I try to go into Philadelphia. It's a little bit more convenient. And you have Spirit Airlines, which you have to get the big front seat to be comfortable there. Or you have American Airlines, which is a first class, which is a bust out. But and then Philadelphia Airport, I hate it. I just hate it. I hate the airport. The way you're treated there, be prepared to go into Philly.
Spirit is the one where you get there and they're like, would you like to buy a seat? And you're like, well, no, what do you mean I like to buy a seat? I thought I already bought a seat. No, I'll stand, thanks. You know, like what? It just keeps ratcheting up the price.
You're right. Because
yeah.
Like, their $99 airfare one way will cost me $249 after I'm done picking a seat in a bag. You're absolutely right.
That's right. Yeah. I thought this was cheap. Oh, no. Not that I've ever taken it. I've just heard stories. All right. What's on your mind, sir? What's going on?
Nothing really. I just, the NFL, you know, it's to come on Thursdays. Sometimes it's tough, unless we're talking about the current week, but sometimes it's tough because the stuff's in my head fresh on Monday. And I work for a couple different, I make some different videos during the week, which is relevant to the previous week or the next week. Here at VSiN, we come on Thursdays. I haven't asked you or Jeff. I'd like to see what both of you guys think. It's so open, the NFL right now. I mean, I'm looking at my assistant here just wrote this thing to me. The odds, current odds to win the Super Bowl via Circa Sports, six teams are 10-1 or lower. I know it's probably been talked about over the week. I think even though it's Circa, which has a lower hold than most of the sports books in the world, I don't think anything's worth it mathematically here. I think maybe the New England Patriots a couple weeks ago might have been worth it. But, they're just the flavor of the week. They're the ones that are playing good right now. You know, this week's teams, I think, you could correct me, I think is New England and Green Bay, probably. That's the hottest teams. A couple weeks ago, before the Bills lost to Jacksonville, they were the hottest team. The Rams, before they dropped three in a row, they were the hottest team. So I look at these teams, and starting with the Colts, which, amazingly, this is why you got the shop odds. Because just seeing this offhand, Circa's 30-1, which has the lowest hold in town, yet 30-1 on the Colts, yet I just seen 60-1 at one of the Jersey sports books when I was looking before I was going to go. So there's some different odds that you really have to search the odds. You'll find that most of the odds will be better on Circa on certain things, but still you have to shop them because they may take a giant position or a big bet on it. They have no choice but to move the odds.
That's right.
But the one thing I like about Circa, Gil, is when they take that bet, let's say they took a $5,000, $10,000, whatever, a bet on the Colts, they will adjust the other odds. They will give you a little bit more on the other teams. A lot of sports books, mm-hmm. and some right here in Las Vegas, they'll pull out the mask and the gun, and they'll just do what they always do. They'll take bets on it. They'll lower that one and leave everything.
Right.
I've seen it countless times. I've seen it. It's terrible.
South Point is great at moving the numbers when they take a big bet on something. Oh. They'll move the others as well. Just get back to your point about the Colts. Full disclosure, and I think I've mentioned it on a numbers game, if not on primetime this week. I actually did take a position on the Colts this week. I bet them 40-1 at BetMGM to win the Super Bowl. And if you have a 60-1, that's worth a bet. And again, this comes back to when we're discussing the futures market, the object is to get ahead of the popular sentiment. And so when you say that out loud, you know that there's a good portion of people listening to you like, oh, you're ridiculous, the Colts. No. They're a team that is sort of in the weeds, right? And they, listen, do we know that any of these teams are going to win the Super Bowl? Of course not. It's like, you know, I bet the Titans a while back at 11-1, and the bet is, and this is, again, you have to get people's brains to sort of trigger on this. Do I know that the Colts are going to win, that the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl? Of course not. But the Titans had won all of their hard games. They're currently decimated on offense. But as they get those players back, if they're still able to maintain the number one seed, obviously, is what the bet was about. If you can get the number one seed still, then that's a good bet regardless of how you feel they're going to do in the playoffs, because that's the bet. The bet is they're going to still maintain against a really bad schedule moving forward to get the number one seed. Now, I may very well be wrong about that, but please understand what the bet is. The bet is not, I think the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl. The bet is, I think the Titans can get the number one seed, and therefore I will be positioned with all their great players back to be in a really favorable spot to win a Super Bowl, more favorable than anybody else in their conference. That's what people sort of have to understand why bets are made. It's not because we have it, oh, I'm absolutely the Titans are going to win all. So the Colts, for me, are absolutely the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. They're the team that has the best value on the board right at this moment, in my humble opinion.
Gil, are you saying something here? Because I think you may be, and it's a rare thing that I actually do this myself. If I take a team like the Colts, by the way, I just pulled up DraftKings at it just to see. Now, look at DraftKings. DraftKings is 50-1 on the Colts to win the Super Bowl at DraftKings. So there's a 50-1. I knew I seen better. But let's say I take this 50-1 shot. Are you saying that when you get to the playoffs, I'll even say, because you're saying number one seed playoffs, will you actually be in a position that you'll want to hedge that bet? Or is that what you're – because I know some sharp sports bettors that do bet futures that will maybe, you know, bet something like this, hoping they get that number one seed, hoping they get to, and we'll start hedging. Is that part of your repertoire there?
I think my answer is different for two teams, right? In the case of the Titans, if they end up, and it's a big if at this point, right? These are the number three seed currently, and they got to get guys back. But if they were to end up as the number one seed, I don't think I hedge it at all, because you get to play one fewer playoff games than everybody else. And I actually loved them in previous years, too, in playoff situations, because they have a unicorn, Derrick Henry. Again, all of this is assuming these parts come together. So I don't think my 11-1, I don't think I hedge that. In the case of the Colts, I think I would, because it's a big enough number, right? So you have equity to work with. And it's not a, let's put it this way, they have also a great running back in Jonathan Taylor. But for some reason, I don't trust Carson Wentz always at every moment. So if there's an opportunity in a postseason, right, in the divisional round or further, and you know, you can do this one of two ways. There might not be a pre-flop opportunity, there might be an in-game opportunity. So I would look to hedge it, but I'm not a kind of guy who immediately defaults to hedging. Some people are. I'm not like looking to do that, but I would say the Colts more likely than the Titans, if the Titans were in the situation I'm hoping they get in. If that makes sense.
Very good, very good. Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And I'm not a hedge guy. I hate hedging. I hate the word, because I know I have a good positive EV bet, and now I'm going to make a bet that's not as positive. So I'm not a hedge guy. However, in situations like this where I'm taking, especially the 40-1, you say 50-1, it may be so much money on the line that it would be silly not to hedge.
Of course.
And when you're not talking about something that's 3-1 or 4-1, and now you want to get off that -2-1, you're talking about something that's a giant payday.
That's right.
That may be worth hedging.
Yeah, so. It's like these Survivor players, right? The last 26 people have the last 28 entries in Survivor. Man, they got to be hedging this week, right? Like, the hedging must begin if you haven't done it yet. They're absolutely doing it, because there's too much money at stake not to do it. We'll come back. More with the Crack Man, Unscripted. A numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for Moneyline, Over-Under, and Against the Spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Deontay Wilder News. Listening to the percentages on Auburn win probabilities to win wasn't what I wanted to hear this morning. Are you going to talk about my first pet dying next? Maybe I will. I don't know. Believe me, I had Auburn too. This is one of the worst. One of the worst things ever. Bill Krakenberger is here with us. So as I went to break, I talked about people in Survivor, and you texted me about that. Yeah, 28 entries left in Circa's second annual Survivor contest. Total pot, $6 million. There is a bonus thing, but quite frankly, people shouldn't care about that if you're left in this. But 20, some people might. Some people might. Some people might make decisions this week that still play for the seventh million, which I would say would just be complete mishugas. But 28 left out of 4,080 initial entries. 26 different people. So two people have two entries left, Bill, which is why any talk of a chop is out the window at this point. Circa, the book itself, not involved in any chops moving forward, by the way, should be pointed out. But that's the deal. 28 left. So I know I'm friends with one of the remaining folks, and I know that they're all about hedge mode now at this point. You would be too?
Gil, I actually text you, hedge, ? At this point in the season.
Yeah.
I just got knocked out, by the way. I just got knocked out. So I'm out of it, but I just I probably didn't think about the hedge until I thought about the entries being worth over $200,000
each. $214,000 each right now. Yeah.
$214,000 change each. I guess you would start. It just seems like there's so many weeks left.
There are.
I didn't think about a hedge until you mentioned this on the show. So you'll actually start hedging now going in, and guaranteeing 6 weeks. Was there six more? Is there five more? Six more
well,
games, correct?
You're right in the sense that you can't be too aggressive, right?
Right.
At this point. But let me just give you the sort of the counter to that. So last week, this past week, the 14 of the remaining 40 had New England left. I bring up New England because they were the biggest favorite on the board on Sunday. Its own week, Sunday and Monday were. And Tennessee didn't have their three best offensive players. So, and New England won going away, as it turns out, in the second half. 12 of those 14 people did, in fact, take New England. But there was one of the two remaining ones. By the way, the 13th took Cincinnati. They got away with it. Also, Cincinnati won in a blowout over Pittsburgh. But the 14th was a guy who, instead of taking New England, he took Seattle on Monday night. And so, and by the way, he had the Rams available. This week, he would have been the only person that had the Rams available against Jacksonville. So this guy had this nice little perfect setup in the short term, and the only, now I don't know this person, and I feel bad for this person, but the only thing I can think of is that the reason he kept Seattle as his pick, it was the last game of the week on a Monday night. It was a pick'em. So I'm thinking he thought that it would be this perfect, clean hedge opportunity, and maybe he ended up making a lot of money betting on Washington. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure, but that's the only thing I can come up with as to why he did that.
Yeah, yeah. So what would Gil Alexander do this weekend?
Jeez,
like, would you would actually get right in there and start hedging though right now?
I have to be honest.
Maybe I have a little more aggressiveness. I just figured it out while you were talking.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would.
Bill.
It's not the right. It's not the right time yet to
I don't know that
hedge.
I would.
I don't think.
First of all, I don't know what I would have had left, right? That's the first.
That's true.
That's the first thing. You don't know exactly the deals. That's why it's hard to talk about Survivor hypothetically for someone who's not in it. I used to say this to Las Vegas, Chris, last year. He's like, oh, you absolutely have to take the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I'm like, are you in this or am I in this? Right? Like, you get it. And I love Chris, but it's like, and he learned this year too. Like, you can't do that because you don't know what you have. You don't know what your thinking is. And he sort of come around on that, you know, where it's you don't know exactly what you would do because you don't know what you'd have left, and you don't know when the moment faces. This was the point I was making for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is three games, right? And so everybody who had multiple entries, and there were 12 people that had multiple entries heading into the Thanksgiving day, three had three, nine had two. And so the thinking all year, generally, for those who would have multiple entries was, you're saving the multiple entries, or you're happy to have the multiple entries for Thanksgiving, because then you get to split on Thanksgiving. You get to get through this really volatile, short sample size week, guaranteeing yourself a run-through. And when it got down to it, whether correctly or incorrectly, only one person of the 12 ended up doing it, and they only ended up doing it because they were kind of forced to do it because they didn't have Buffalo or Dallas. So they split on Chicago and Detroit. So that's the other thing about having hypothetical Survivor conversations is you can act like you know what you'd do if you were in the moment, but we don't really know how we'd act, right? Like, I can put myself in their shoes, but I can't really put myself in their shoes.
Yeah, yeah, no, really. This is going to be fun. I actually, even though I'm out of it now, I was really upset that I was out of it, though. Right, I was in great position a couple weeks ago. It's embarrassing. I had two entries left, and I lost with Tennessee, a 10.5 favorite, and these
against Houston. Against Houston.
Yeah, and then the next week I was going to. Matter of fact, I have a roadmap to $6 million. I swear, it's written out on my phone. And the next week was going to be the Bears, because the Bears were what's the reason
hosting,
why I
hosting
the, Bears?
The Lions on Thanksgiving?
Oh, because I already used Dallas, so I was going to have the Bears. That would have been good, but the next week would have been a little bit hairy. So
what did you lose? What did you? You said you had two left. You lost one on Tennessee. What did you lose the other one on? Do you remember?
Oh, I lost on Tennessee my one, and the week before that, I guess I lost the other one.
Yeah, but the difference.
I lost entries on double digit favorites. It just bothers me.
Well,
4-point favorites.
Bill, listen. I'm the king.
That's the idea.
Listen, here's the thing. Last year there was 1,300 plus. I got all the way to December last year, too. I lost on a 17-point home favorite. So, again,
I don't know why I don't remember that.
That was the Rams losing to the Jets. And so that's everybody who cries about their losses this year, including myself, by the way. I lost on the Bills playing the Jaguars. None of that compares to, you know, you talk about a roadmap. Last year, it was just a coast job. And I would have won the remaining three games. This year, I'll be honest with you, I'd have lost multiple times by now, right? If it wasn't the Bills against the Jags, I'd have lost twice since then. So I think the Ravens to the Dolphins on that Thursday night. Remember, this is, let's get to our big numbers with New Jersey just cleared $1.3 billion in handle. Nevada just cleared a billion in handle in the month of October. And they had a very small hold. Well, guess when those November numbers come out with all these football upsets, and Survivor is a great proxy for this because Survivor is how, you know, people remember these upsets. The Baltimore loss to Miami, the Bills to the Jags, the Cowboys to the Broncos when they were down 30,
oh, yeah.
The Rams to the Niners. Like it was just a cavalcade. It was just an onslaught of outright upsets. Nevada is going to, when those November numbers come out, and it's not just Nevada, they're going to shatter everything they did in October, and it's going to go all to the book side. It's just November 7th and November 14th were just absolute carnage for bettors and for Survivor players.
Yeah, you know, here, I found it. See that?
Yep.
Roadmap to the 6 million?
It's your roadmap.
That
to was the, my, what does know, it say at the top? Roadmap to, yeah. 6 million.
Roadmap to 6 million. I found it on my phone. And I'll make you laugh, Gil.
Yeah.
This reminds me of one of the great Jackie Gleason, the great one, the Honeymooners, when he had a great scene when he goes out there on the game show, the $99,000 answer, and he missed the first answer. That's on my top of my sheet was the first week. I missed the first week Tennessee when they lost. I mean, just like Gleason, we missed the first one. All nice, panned out, all studied, all everything there, the roadmap to 6 million. Party's over.
You know what, man? So. I say it again every time I talk about this. I want to always mention it. Congratulations to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeffrey Benson, Matt Metcalf, the whole crew here who did this contest. Because again, the you know, picking five per week in Circa Millions, and other people do that kind of contest, and that's all great. And for those who do well in that, all the best to you. I love that they have quarterlies. They have quarterly booby prizes. I know somebody who's in that. So all of that's great. But Survivor, man, has always been a favorite for those of us who did legal and illegal Survivor pools around the country growing up. And there are little quirks about Thanksgiving and Christmas. People get upset about those because it adds a little more luck. I would also argue that it adds a whole dose of strategy to it as well. So, and it's kind of, and having that 18th week, while it may not ever manifest, it does create some strategic decisions perhaps for these final 28 people who have Kansas City left, right? I talked about it on Tuesday. Eight people have Kansas City. There's one person who has two that has Kansas City available, one Tampa Bay and the other. Will they not use either and use Philadelphia to try to get the 7th million? Will they go to that decision? I mean, it's all fascinating. So shout out to them, man. Great job. Great job on their part. We'll come back more unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. He's wearing a matching purple with me today.
Oh, yeah. I got a little bit darker purple.
No.
Yeah. You got the Donny Osmond socks on? I don't have them.
But. No, I don't have those.
Okay.
I'll check, though. Coming back, Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus 20 United States dollars to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It is a limited time offer, though. We will end it at a moment's notice. Okay, maybe not that dramatically. Sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Bill Krakenberger's with us. Bill, do you own anything from the VSiN store, man? Do you have any VSiN gear?
No VSiN gear. I'm thinking about actually adding a Kangol with a VSiN logo on the back, just to let you know.
That is something we should have. We should have that. A Crackman Kangol with a VSiN logo. Of course we should.
You know what's funny? I know the executives at Kangol because they send me twice now. They sent me 24 hats off the record. I hope they're not listening. I don't understand the pinks and the purple. Pink. I could have worn a purple one today. Pink, purple, red. yellow, banana yellow. They send me a box of a dozen hats, some different colors. I only wear the black. I did wear the brown the other day, black, brown, and dark blue. But, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Bro, you should totally rock the pink Kangol. Who's done more for the Kangol, you or LL Cool J? Who? I don't know.
Oh, LL. LL. I've been with LL, by the way. He is such a good guy. I was really happy to hear about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the other day. I've been with him, and he was just a regular cool guy, nice to everybody. Really good though. But anyway, yeah. I think, and who's the other guy? The actor Samuel Jackson, right? I think he's probably number one though, right?
Oh yeah, he wears it to the back. That's right. He wears a hat to the back.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He sure does.
Pretty cool.
Okay. So you are also in handicapping contests beyond Survivor. Were you in?
No.
You were not.
You know, I wanted to tell you something.
Please.
You know me. I'm very level-headed. Last thing about Survivor, and this may come as a little surprise to you. It may come to a surprise for everybody. I don't let emotion get involved. I had a college football day on a Saturday early in the season where I lost a lot of money. I think it was like 50,000. But I know that in the end I'm going to win. I mean, the last 3 weeks in college basketball, I've won double of that, at least. But yet, the Survivor thing put me in the dumps. I was so...
Dude.
I know it doesn't make sense. People called me. I actually was really emotional. Not emotional, but it affected me that night. I was really bothered. I was really bothered that whole Sunday.
I've said this at least five times on this show. That is exactly right. It's not the money you lost. You've long forgotten about the money you spent on the entries. That doesn't matter at all. Yeah. Second is what you imagining what you could have won in a chop or solely right at the end of the rainbow, if you will, at the end of the season,
right,
when it was all said and done. But the biggest thing for me is like you don't get to go through the whole mental gymnastics of it week after week. And you don't, so it's like, it's a combination of those two. And you were, all of your bets on a weekly basis, those come and go. But this is this journey that you're living, right? And it's so much, like, I know someone, so people who are like, I got one tweet here is like, oh, they're hedging. Yeah, I know somebody who is. So you can quibble with me all you want, but I actually know somebody who's in the remaining 26 people who is on a hedge fest right now. And, you know, those people, I can't remember where I was going with this, other than, you know, I know how much it means in their life right now, right? Like they have a wife and kids. And at this point, because most people don't get this close to $6 million, right? They just don't.
Right.
And so at this point, and you can see what other people have picked and what you can imagine them doing. And so it's this whole web of obsession. And so you really do like have to tell your wife, you're like, honey, I'm going to disappear here for a day or two because I got some work to do. What's your wife going to do? She's going to be like, how much money is this again? $6 million? Okay, yeah, go ahead, honey. I'll take the kids, whatever. I mean, it's that big of a deal, especially at this point, right? Like I got down to, what was it, 100 and something last year, which wasn't quite tangible like this is. This is, you can taste it now.
All right, now wait. Time out.
Yes. What did I say?
I have to go into a subject here.
Please.
That I'm hoping people that are professionals do. My wife knows nothing about anything.
Mm-hmm.
She just knows the bills are paid, the house is paid for, the cars are paid for. She doesn't know anything on my week-to-week journeys. And there's no reason ever... In my opinion, now I'm not trying to be a tough guy or nothing, and I don't tell my wife anything about, if she ever knew.
100%, Bill. 100% is the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
To give you an example, if she ever knew, and now I'm here in my studio, so she's not here.
That's right.
But if she ever knew
the
money that was owed to me in life, I mean, it's life-changing times three.
Oh, owed, owed to you. I see what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Listen, partners, ex-bookmakers, ex-partners, bookmakers, companies that went out of business and screwed me. I mean, there's so much money. I lost 45,000 with people on Twitter I thought I could trust.
But it's
big mistake, by the way.
But for me, it's not the money you're owed, because I think that's that might not be relatable to all. But yeah, everybody, if you've been around long enough, somebody owes you money. I'll give you that. You and I have a mutual acquaintance that owes us both. But for me, the reason that I don't share the details is because, by the way, the Survivor example I just gave, when you get to this amount of money, I think you probably do share, because you've got to disappear for a while if you're getting into a mode where, like, I got to drive somewhere and make some, because here's what's on the line, honey. But just, so if we're not in this, I'm with you completely. I don't ever, like, she knows, right? My girl knows what I do. But there's no reason to share details on a week-to-week basis, because if you're not like us, you just can't possibly understand, right?
That's perfect. That's perfect, Gil.
You just can't.
If you're not like us, that's right. That's right. If you're in that weekly grind of money and things, that decision-making, it's not even fair to put that kind of stress on them, by the way. It's not fair.
It's not fair. So. And also, like, the one that always kills me is, If you told them, first of all, wins and losses is what they're most interested in. But if they ever asked you the question, this is the one that always cracks me up. If they ask you, like, how much money in the course of your lifetime or in this year do you think you have actually wagered? Not wins and losses, just the amount of money you wagered. It would be such a hilarious number to share with someone who doesn't do this, because they would just be stopped in their tracks. They'd have no ability to process that answer. They'd just be like, "What?" I'd be like, "Yeah, that's not wins and losses. Wait, what?" They wouldn't be able to get it. They wouldn't. No chance. So there's no reason.
Wouldn't. Yeah.
There's no reason to get into it.
Exactly right.
Because all it's going to do is cause trouble.
Well, just like the Square Public, when there's a big bust, a big bookmaker bust, and you hear they've taken 40 million in wagers, it's 40 million in volume doesn't mean that they have 40 million sitting in a cardboard box behind them.
Right.
When they get arrested, it means 40 million in wagers times 3% handle or whatever it may be. But it makes for good headlines, so that's why that's done. And also, you imagine telling my wife that the money that I have in volume on a game, when there's 165 games, which there was 165 the other day, 165 games out there, and I'm playing a lot of them. So, it wouldn't make sense. I would never put that pressure on them. And I would never want, I wouldn't want their opinion, but you just don't want to, they don't know the business, so it's not fair when they hear numbers like that, at least for what I do, and anyone, not just me, anyone, it can be relatable on a smaller scale, or there's guys that are bigger than me. Trust me, there are.
Oh, yeah.
There's many syndicate group leaders out there that are wagering, seven figures in action on a weekend and stuff, and it wouldn't be fair. So anyway, it's just something you said,
It's a great point. It's a great point that I don't think you and I have stumbled on before. We stumbled on a lot of points.
Never.
But it is, for those of us who have done this long enough and seriously enough, it's a daily part of our lives. And even as I'm saying it out loud, right, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking they would be so offended in some cases, right, hearing this. They'd be like, "What do you mean you don't share with me these things?" I'd be like, "There's trust me, there's no point in it." It's not done out of maliciousness. It's not done out of anything nefarious or anything for the purposes of being secretive. It's just that it's best we don't get into this, because you wouldn't relate, and just leave it at that if you trust me kind of thing. Does that make sense?
I'll give you Of course. I'll give you a perfect example real quick. Again, I don't mean to harp on this subject. Are we going to a break?
We're going to a break.
When we get back.
The visual on Jeff. I forgot you could see Jeff.
I got a visual on Jeff. Oh, yeah, I can see him at all times. I'm keeping my eye on him, too. Very sneaky guy. I got to keep my eye on him.
Oh, interesting.
At all times.
Yeah, he does a show on the weekend with the last name Parles.
I know.
That's the first thing you got to watch out for.
My man.
Pronounces it differently. I don't know what's going on with him. Coming back, more Unscripted with the Crack Man. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you, as always, by BetMGM Nevada. Do not forget that BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with the lock of the year tonight. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Dallas or New Orleans. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM. Special offers all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets. If either Dallas or New Orleans scores a touchdown, eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Once again, that Cowboys-New Orleans line tonight. Saints-Cowboys line. 6 everywhere now. On the news that, your two tackles, your starting running back, gone from the game tonight. No Alvin Kamara, no Ramchek, no Armstead, gone from the game. So Taysom Hill, if he is to go as starting quarterback, which is what it appears to be, will have that not at his disposal. And the Cowboys will have Amari Cooper tonight, who was taken off the COVID list. So I was in on the Cowboys -5 yesterday. It's -6 now. I would not be surprised if this gets to 7 or ticks above it by kickoff tonight. And then maybe 7, there might be resistance on that. We get tweets, by the way, at Beating the Book. This is all in reaction to my conversation with the crack man right here on a numbers game at VSiN. This is Jim Sturr. Hey, Gil, do you think this sports betting thing will ever catch on? That's my line from many times in the past. This is Scott C. Survivor pool grief is real. It is, man. I've talked about it so many times on this show. Aaron Bender, regarding Survivor, my buddy and I got knocked out with your Bills versus Jacksonville. We missed our Wednesday meetings at the same time in the same place to make our selection. Just a hole in every week. Yeah. Randy McKay, who we know and love. Great conversation about getting knocked out of Survivor. I played in 9 World Series of Poker main events from 03 to 12, getting knocked out. Survivor is the same numbing feeling that takes a couple of days to go away. Can't wait for next year. Randy, that's exactly how I feel about it. Len Glow, you guys are exactly right concerning who knows what we're doing, especially our wives. People who don't wager would be blown away at the amounts we play. This is also from Sean. Until someone has made it into the last 5 to 10% of a big Survivor pool, they have no idea how awful it feels the week after you've been knocked out. And this from last year's Booby Prize winner at Circa Million, Michael Montesano. He says, everything you and Bill are talking about was me last year when going for the Booby Prize and trying to finish in the top 50 with my other entry. I never told my wife until I won. I didn't want her to be stressed. I was stressed enough. So that conversation resonated with a lot of folks. A lot of folks who got really far and who won a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's really true. It's sort of one of the many threads that bond us all. I always say most of my adult life I lived in the Bay after having grown up in D.C. But I always say in Vegas, you make Insta friends because you are living the same lives and no one else can kind of relate to it. And it's all part of that same sort of thread. And that this is the Survivor thing is that very focused.
You know, Gil, what I was going to say, and I'll be quick on this. This is how much, like, a lot of professionals, I know other guys too, don't tell their wives anything about the gambling wise, especially you make a living sports betting. That's where the bulk of my income comes from. So, to give you a perfect example, how little my wife knows. 2 years ago, she's on the phone with her sister, and I overhear her in the background. I shouldn't do that, but I did. Just so happens I was doing nothing, saying to her, first, let me tell you, we grew up together as kids. We weren't middle class. We were poor, but we didn't know it. Our mothers always had food on the table. But I overhear her saying to her sister that she's putting $100 a week away for her first, I don't know the brand, pocketbook. It's a very popular name, though. Pocketbook. She's putting $100, saving $100 a week yeah. for her Louis Vuitton. So she has one. Most like guys with a couple bucks, they buy their wives anything. But I overhear her saying this, and when she gets off the phone, I said, I'm sorry to be nosy. What did you just say? I said, how much is the pocketbook? She said, what are you? Don't listen to my conversation. I said, I'm sorry. How much? She said, well, I have $1,200 on the side for it, and it's $2,900. I'm thinking to myself, I have seven games today that I have $10,000 swings on, and she's saving $100. Go get the pocketbook tomorrow. And she got mad at me, but she did get it tomorrow. Anyway, that just goes to show you, though, how little that you know, guys like myself do tell their wives and keep them away from things for decision-wise. But let's not beat that subject anymore.
Hey, Jeff, could you mark down pocketbook as the first time we've ever uttered that word on this show? Pocketbook, everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Old school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. A couple other tweets here. Sean Higgs. Love seeing Bill Crackman and being in the book Thursday mornings. Philly cheaper, but worse than Newark for sure. Where is the VSiN private jet? Now, that's not a bad idea. I don't get paid for this show, but I wouldn't mind the private jets back and forth a little bit to Jersey. I'll talk to the Musburgers about that later.
Okay.
Let's see. CISI Consigliere. I don't know what that kind of is, but anyway, I got to comment him. Knowledge is ammunition. This is a great, we're going to a different subject here, but a very good subject. Knowledge is ammunition. Sharp bettors for sharp bookmakers is an everyday battle. Stick to your strengths and win this war. Now, I don't know what he was responding to. It's in
either.
The VSiN thread.
Yeah.
It's in the VSiN thread, but I like what he said. As a matter of fact, so much so that he has 10 followers. Now he has 11, which is me. And that's true. But what he's saying was, I had a lot of things in my mind to go over. We're not going to be able to go over them. It happens every Gil.
Yes.
You and I.
I know.
Just so many. That I wasn't planning to talk about Louis Vuitton pocketbooks and there's other things today. But we get into so many different things. I literally had seven things. We went over one thing. But I like what he's saying because I was one of my seven that I wrote down before the show. This is about, again, I know I beat down the subject a lot, but this is about different ways to book business in this business. You have two different ways really to look at the business. One, you have the Circa. I'll even go over and draw parallels, and I'll just say the Pinnacle and Chris model. And then you have the Hill Stations model. This business is all about volume, in my opinion, and utilizing the people that you know more than it really is. It's about utilizing. In my opinion, if I was on that side of the counter, I would want to utilize the people is information. So if that makes any sense, rather than not, because let's. This is something that people don't like. They won't talk about this. No one talks about this, but it happens everywhere. You get thrown out, your beard back in. Let me tell you something, guys. I hope you're listening. I hope you guys are listening at Stations. I hope you're listening at William Hill. I hope you're listening at Boyd. Everyone gets back in anyway. But when they're back in, you don't know they're back in. So they're back in under an assumed name, under a friend, whether they form a partnership with a friend to make it legal, whatever it may be, or they have an advisor like Bill Krakenberger to bet. Whatever it may be, I'm just telling you, now you don't know it's me. Now you don't know it's whatever other syndicate groups are out there, sharp syndicate groups. You all get back in. I mean, it's so dumb to really not take $500 bets. So when I seen his tweet, I kind of thought of that. I wrote some stuff out here, though. It just puts this is exactly the way I feel, too. It takes much more hard work and paying attention to the customer and his knowledge and utilizing it to make more profit in the end. The easy way is to not want that customer, which forces the customer to simply get beards, which now put the lazy bookmaker completely in the dark and makes them vulnerable with maybe even no place to turn right away. And you kind of put yourself in a bad position being a bookmaker, in my opinion. I don't know. I know I'm only looking at it from my side. That's my opinion, though. And maybe I'm even helping. Listen.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. I have Dr. Bob coming up on the Megapod here after I race to the D after this. And I think I've brought this up before. Bob, John Kress, may rest in peace, and I, we used to we used to have this situation where they knew that whatever we bet was going to be followed by hundreds of people, if not thousands. And so they wanted to know what we were betting, right? Instead of kicking us out, right? That was a conscious decision of some of these off the grids. And so you're right. Like they should want that knowledge, right? Bookmakers should want that knowledge.
It's not an accident. Those guys down in Costa Rica overcame every stiff shot artist and didn't get paid by tens of thousands of people, yet overcame it and are still multimillionaires. And the juice wasn't the reason all the time. As a matter of fact, some of them would have won without the juice. And that's a subject matter maybe for next show.
Yeah.
But I was at a privy to an unbelievable partner meeting once that shocked me. I just sat there and listened to the geniuses at work, the three wise men. I'll end with that.
All right. We had it happen a little with our tennis picks on a major offshore here during hardcore season. They wanted to know. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman. Thank you, Bill, as always. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Billy. At Bill Krakenberger with a K. Lombardi Line next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.